This message is brought to you by Whiting Community Church in Whiting, Vermont. Real people, real faith. Here's Pastor Billy Jones.
Our society has a lot of different ideas about manhood, doesn't it? You watch television, you see all kinds of different ideas on what a man is, what a man should do, what a man looks like, what a man, how a man dresses, how he behaves at work. And I think that the majority of those cues that we get from society are inherently flawed and really lies from Satan. So I don't know if I'll touch on that too much today, but what I really want to focus on is what the Bible says. What is a man? What's a man supposed to be? I want to tell you real quick a story of two different men. Each man left a legacy. And I think as dads, as fathers, that's really our goal, isn't it? To leave a legacy, something that lasts beyond us, because it really our children are the only thing that will last beyond us. And like I had, you know, our grandfather stand up, your grandchildren are really your legacy. Your great-grandchildren are really your legacy, right? That's what will last long after you're gone. It's been said that after two or three after three generations, that most of us will have been forgotten, that most of us will not be remembered after three generations. Won't even know our names. You think about it. Do you know the names of your great-great-grandparents? Do you know who they are? Some do. Some of you into genealogy. Most of us don't, you know. Most of us don't. My family tree being from the hills of North Carolina, the mountains of North Carolina, it's just a straight line anyway, so there's not very many branches, so yeah. The whole legacy thing gets quite confusing. Scary. Max Jukes was a guy that believed in legacy. His descendants were traced, and they found about 1,200 descendants of Max Jukes. From this research, we find that 400 of his descendants were physically abused. 310 of his descendants became wards of the state, were imprisoned. 130 of his descendants were convicted criminals, in other words, felonies. And seven of his descendants became murderers of multiples. Only 20 out of the 1,200 ever learned a trade. And half of those learned it in prison. What a legacy, right? What a legacy. On the other hand, I want to talk about the descendants of Jonathan Edwards. A few of those are you a descendant of Jonathan? We have a descendant of Jonathan Edwards here in the building. How cool is that? Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher who lived in the 1800s. And of the descendants that were traced, 400 that were traced, 14 of them became college presidents. 14 of them. 100 of them became professors. 100 of them were ministers. Over 100 of them became lawyers, and of those, 60 became judges. Quite a different legacy, huh, than Max Jukes. The lives that we lead don't just affect us. The lives that we lead affect our descendants, and can affect our descendants far into the future. I think it's so easy, isn't it, just to be all wrapped up in ourselves and our day-to-day goings and think about today and tomorrow, but really not past that and what makes me happy, what makes me happy now, what makes me happy tomorrow, but not really to think about how our actions today may affect those 100 years from now. The legacy that we start today might affect our grandchildren 50 years from now. How our actions today and our service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the priority that we make that service, the priority that we make God and serving Him and living a godly and a righteous life might have an effect on our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Men, what kind of legacy are you leaving? What have you done up to this point? If you were to die today, what kind of legacy would you leave? What would your children have to look to? What kind of an example would they follow? Are you living your life today in a way that would be a positive influence for your kids in the way that they live their lives and the way they train their children? Maybe some of you can say yes. Maybe some of you down in your heart are saying, I might have missed the mark on that one. Others might be saying, well, I don't know. I don't know. And the question becomes for each of us, how should I be living my life today? You know, the past is the past. We can repent of the past. That's what the cross was for. But what are we to do today? How are we supposed to move forward? What I want to do is to give you some biblical principles, dads, for you to live in your life beginning today that will help you be a positive influence to your kids and to your kids' kids in the future. You know, there's some older folks here this morning. You've already raised kids. There's some of you who have already gone through that chapter in your life. But what I want to tell you this morning is that you still can have an effect on your children, that you never stop affecting your children, and especially your grandchildren, unless you really messed up and they won't let you see them. That happens too. But who knows? Maybe you can turn that around. But it's going to require some changes in you, some changes in your heart. It requires you talking with them, maybe telling them about the mistakes that you realize that you've made and apologizing for them. Let me tell you something, parents. There will never come a day when your parents will not listen to you when you come to them and say, man, I'm really sorry, I blew it, and here's how I blew it. Your children will never, ever not want to hear that. They'll learn from that. Tell them about the mistakes you've made in the past and the things that you wish that you had have done differently and how you would change, if you could, the past. I encourage you to do this. It will not only help them to raise their children better, but it will give them a better view of you when you humbly admit that there are things that you would change, things that you would do differently in raising them. So what do? Where does leaving a godly legacy begin? Well, it begins with a faith that is growing. It begins with a faith that is growing. What do I mean by that? Being a godly father and leaving a godly legacy must begin by placing your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, your Savior. You cannot be a godly father. I would say you cannot even be a good father unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Unless you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, then you have no idea of what a father really is and what a father really should do. If you've never done that, if you've never called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never called out to Him and said, I am a sinner, please save me, and I give my life to You, I'm going to serve You for the rest of my life and dedicate my life to You. If you've never done that, you need to. Today is the day. What a better day. I can't think of a better day than Father's Day to get to know your Heavenly Father and to come home to Him and say, I'm sorry for running from You for so long, and I want to serve You for the rest of my life. What a perfect day, Father's Day, to be adopted into that perfect heavenly family. You can make that day today, that day. Now, after you are in the faith and in a relationship with Christ, there are some biblical principles that you need to apply to your life so that you can leave a godly legacy. Step one, know Christ. If you don't know Christ, today's the day. Get to know Christ. But maybe you've known Christ for a while. How do you be a godly father? How do you leave a lasting godly legacy? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of His body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. The first thing that I want you to see, if you want to be a man that leaves a godly legacy, if you want to be a real man, a godly man, you must love your wife. A real man loves his wife. Ephesians 5:25 said, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church." What does it mean to love your life? To love your wife. They're both interchangeable. It says it right there in Ephesians. Whew, got out of that one. What does it mean to love your wife? Does it mean to have passion for her? Does it mean that you have a desire for intimacy? Does it mean that you have strong feelings for her? Yes, it does, but more. It means that you're willing to sacrifice your life for your wife and your family. It means that you're willing to die for them. It means that you're willing to lay down your life just as Christ laid down his life for the church. Now, I don't know of anyone, if I were to walk up to you today and say, would you take a bullet for your wife? Would you take a bullet for your family? Would you take a bullet for your children? I am certain that every man in this room would say, absolutely. Absolutely. Probably each one of us would answer that as an affirmative. I'd gladly die for my family. But here's a harder question. Dads, husbands, how many here would spend a Saturday going shopping with your wife? Just you and her, doing the things that she wants to do, going to Walmart clearance, thrift stores. What would you say if I said that's what really loving your wife is all about? Ooh, got quiet in here. I saw men get about 3 inches shorter in the pews. Yikes! That's what loving your wife is really all about. Because giving up your life, laying down your life, isn't all about taking a bullet. And that's macho, right? Superman stuff. Rosie and I went and saw Superman for her birthday. Now that's all cool and all, but that isn't really where it's at. Laying down your life means putting her first. And your wants and your needs and the things you desire second. Her first. Oh. No wonder it's so hard, right? 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Peter tells us to be considerate of our wives as we live with them. You know, when we're not respecting our wives, and being considerate of them, you know what this verse tells us? We're sinning. We're falling short of God's glorious idea. We're falling short of His righteousness when we are not considerate of our wives. Our prayers, Peter goes on and says that our prayer life will be hindered because of that sin. You wonder, dads, why it doesn't seem like any of your prayers are ever answered? Are you being considerate to your wives? Peter says that's it. That's a key to your prayer life right there. Love your wife like you ought to be loving your wife. Yeah, we need to make sure that our families are provided for. We need to make sure that our families are safe. But we also need to respect and consider our wife's emotional needs. Are they being met? We need to be spending time with our wives. We need to be listening to our wives. There's a passage in James. It's incredibly difficult for men and women alike. It says to be quick to listen, but slow to what? Anger and what else? To speak. My dad always used to say, another one of those, it's Father's Day, dads tell you smart things, right? God gave you two ears and one mouth so you would listen twice as much as you speak, so shut up. That was pretty much what he said right there. I quote. James would have agreed. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Do you listen to your wives? Wives, I must tell you though, you need to be discerning when you want to be listened to. And right in the middle of the Super Bowl is probably not the best time. Okay, be discerning there, be discerning. All right, we need to be spending time with our wives. We need to be listening to them. Guys, Super Bowl withstanding, take the remote, turn off the television sometimes. Tell your wife that she's more important to you than the sitcom, than the show. In the day of DVR, guys, you can just record it. A little secret there. Press pause. Turn off the screen. This may seem hard to do, but we can do it. We can be that considerate. We can do it. Guys, this isn't just for you, it's for me too. I've not mastered the role of husbanding or fathering. I'm a work in progress, okay? And all of us are. But when we recognize what we need to do and move forward with it and just do it, we'll reap the rewards of living that way. This requires for us to keep our thoughts focused on the task at hand, though. You know, we as dads get distracted so easily. We as husbands get distracted by our own selfishness. We get distracted because we dwell only on negatives a lot of times, guys. Well, my wife nags so much, I don't want to listen to her. All she does is nag. My wife never wants to be intimate. My wife doesn't cook enough. My wife doesn't clean enough. My life would only be better, so much better, if my wife would change, if she would do something different, if I could get a new wife, you know? And we approach life with this negativity. And guys, when your mind goes in that direction, you've fallen right into Satan's trap. That's exactly where he wants you. That's exactly the trap he has designed. It's a big old bear trap. And it's got you. So when you sense your thoughts are focusing on negative aspects, you need to stop and turn those over to God and repent of those thoughts and thank God for the helpmeet that he has given you. And then love her. Pray that you'll be able to recall those positive attributes. You remember when you were dating why you married her? She's still the same gal. Still the same attributes. Pray for your wife that Christ will help her be better because she is a sinner. You married a sinner just like you. Pray for her that God would do a work in her. Pray for yourself that you will be the proper leader in the home that God designed you to be so that you can lead her to be a better example for her as loving her as Christ loved the church. How would the church know how to love if it wasn't for Christ giving us his example of laying down his life for putting the church first and his needs second? That's what we are called to do, dads. That's what we are called to do, husbands. To put our needs and our wants and our wishes second. To lay down our life for our bride. It's what Paul tells us. Philippians 4:8. Says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Have a positive attitude. Think about the positive traits, and you'll fall in love with that lady all over again. Every single day. Concentrate, there's a poem that I found. Concentrate on what is good, what's sweet, and what's strong. Ignore petty hurts and the little that's wrong. Passion plants the seeds. Love makes them grow. Compassion and patience will help them to grow. The climate of love holds both good and bad weather. They're all seasons of a lifetime of a love spent together. Isn't that nice? I thought the ladies would like a poem. All this father stuff. That was for you, ladies. It's the climate of love that men become men. It's the climate of love where we make a choice of what kind of legacy we're going to leave. It's the climate of love that sets the tone for the home. And by the way, just so our moms and wives know, there are some moms and some wives that don't want to be loved in this way. And you're making the life of your husband a living hell. Because you're refusing that kind of leadership and that kind of love. On Mother's Day, I preach to moms, but then I hammer the dads pretty good too. Well, today is my turn to preach at the dads, but to gently give the ladies some suggestions as well. If you're resisting these types of affections from your husband, and if you are rebelling against this type of leadership, it's because you're a sinner too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You inherited the sin of Adam too. You are a daughter of Eve. And if you are here and saying, yeah, that's me. I don't want my husband to love me that way. It's unnatural. I want to be the leader. He doesn't know what he's doing. I want to lead. Repent of that, because that is not God's plan. You will not have a happy home. You'll never fully appreciate and be able to enjoy that perfect union that God has designed for you unless you repent of that. Dads and husbands, if you're here and now, I've never led like that. I've never taken time to listen. I've never truly loved my life. I'd take a bullet for it, but I'm not going to Walmart. If you've had that kind of attitude, repent. That isn't what God has designed. You want to leave a legacy? You want to be a real man? Love your wife and all that entails. All right, a real man also trains his children. I better hurry up. A real man trains his children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Training involves two things, dads. First, you need to teach children. Do you know it's not just mom's job? It actually falls squarely on the shoulders of the dads to train their children, to teach their children. It is your responsibility to see that they are learning the ways of God. Make sure that your family's going to church, dads. Set that example. Dad should be the first one up on Sunday morning. It shouldn't be mom dragging dad out the door. Dad should be the first one up saying, let's go out the door. It's time to go worship. It's time to go serve. That's dad's job. Dads, if you aren't doing this, change. Switch it up. You need to be growing in your relationship with God too. You know, if you don't have times where you talk with God and read His Word in the home, you need to do that. Open up a Bible. Have a reading night. Read a passage. Talk about it as a family. There's resources. You can go online, Christian Book, CBD, ChristianBookDistributors.com, ChristianBook.com. You can go on there. There are so many resources that you can find on how to study the Bible as a family and ideas and storybooks that you can work through together. There's so many options. But if you aren't doing that, if you're not leading your family, you're failing. You're not being a real man. You're not leaving a legacy. Designate one day a month where you take one of your kids and just spend time with that child individually so they can see what a godly man is. Dads that have daughters, what kind of man is your daughter going to marry? One just like you, most likely. You need to show them that you love the Lord so that they marry a man that loves the Lord. Second thing you need to do to train your kids is to discipline your children. Dads, it's important that you step up to the plate here. So many parents and so many dads leave the discipline up to the mom, and that just isn't right. We have to correct, first, inappropriate behavior in our children. We can't let them talk disrespectfully to us, to you or to your wife. And you need to be prepared to correct that kind of behavior. When our kids are young, that correction may and probably will involve spanking them. And that's okay. I don't care what society says. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:13 and 14, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die." Amen. "Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death," Scripture says. I am not advocating beating children. There is a line there. And let me tell you something. The younger the child is and you start discipline and you use a spanking as a method, the younger they are, man, you don't have to do much. And my daughter's here, but I'm going to embarrass her just a little bit. She's 13. She can handle it, right? When she was just like 2 or 3 years old, we had this battle of the wills going because she's a lot like her dad and very strong-headed and stubborn. And there was a time, and I won't get into all the details, where she decided at like 2 or 3 that she was going to test to see who was really in charge. And it lasted about an hour. And it might have involved a couple little smacks on the hiney. Just about like that. You know, it didn't even hurt. But to her, it crushed her world. Daddy popped her bottom. You know, I won that battle. And I have an awesome young lady for a daughter. That is, wow. Those guys are going to be knocking any day now, I know it. And there's going to be Dad on the porch. Only because I love her. What would have happened if I had lost that battle at 2 and at 3 and I had taught her that she was the one in charge of the house? What would have happened if I didn't love her enough to set limits and boundaries and to be proactive with discipline? I would be a very worried father today instead of a very proud one. You get the picture, dads? Don't leave that up to mom. It's not fair. You're the leader of the home. God has placed you in charge of those things. Finally, a real man fears the Lord. A real man fears the Lord. Psalms 112 verses 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Dads, husbands, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear Him? I'm not saying, are you afraid of Him? I'm saying, do you fear Him? Do you have a proper respect for Him? You know, I don't want my children to fear me, but I want them to respect me. I'm their dad. You know? Government's probably a bad example, especially these days when they're listening into our phone calls. But a good government, a perfect government, the way our government was supposed to work, we're supposed to respect our government. We're supposed to respect the police officer, you know, on the side of the road as we go the speed limit past him, right? But we're not supposed to fear him. He's there to protect us and to protect those around us, right? We're not supposed to fear God and to tremble in fear of Him squishing us, but we're supposed to respect Him. He is our Creator. He is our Heavenly Father. If He wanted to, He could squish us, but we know from His Word that He's not going to because He loves us and He died for us. We should respect Him and fear Him in that way. Do you fear Him? Do you have that proper respect for God? The respect that I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to be the man that He wants me to be. When we have that, the psalmist tells us that we will be blessed and that our children will be mighty in the land. And those that fear the Lord leave a legacy for their children. Those who fear the Lord will help their children be who God has designed them to be. That's how Jonathan Edwards left his legacy. He was a man that respected God. And you can travel back in time 200 years and find a string of descendants. And it's so cool that we have one here. I'm sorry, that's just awesome. I could not have planned that any better. That is too cool. Anyway, don't you want that kind of legacy, dads? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord doesn't return? I hope that He does, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to trace back to you? Man, I sure am glad that William Douglas Jones Sr., whoever that old guy was, I sure am glad that he served the Lord, that he feared the Lord, that he trained his children, that he taught them and disciplined them. I sure am glad that he did those things. I sure am glad that he loved his wife. Because look, 200 years of descendants, all in the Lord's service. Missionaries overseas, church planners, political officials, good ones. Man, wouldn't that be great? That'll only happen if I take my job as a dad today seriously. if I'm committed to loving my wife and training my children and fearing God today. I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't wait till 10, 15 years from now. Not if I want a legacy. What's your legacy going to be today, dads? When we have the proper respect for and the fear of the Lord, our children are more likely to have that proper respect for the Lord and to live that godly life. They won't face the types of bad consequences that result in poor life decisions because they will have a godly example to follow. And when we have a proper fear of the Lord, we gain wisdom. Look, I'll close with these three passages of Scripture here. Look at Job 28. It says, "He said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." Respect the Lord, that is wisdom. Shunning evil, that is understanding. Psalms 111:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise." Respect the Lord, that is wise. Follow His precepts. You know what a precept is? It's a rule, a law, a command. What has God commanded His adults, His adult dads, His adult husbands to do? Love your wives. Train your children. Fear the Lord. Isaiah 33:6, "He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." Dads, do you really respect Him? Do you really fear Him? Have you decided that with your life beginning today that you will serve Him? That He is actually in charge of your family? It is through that wisdom that is gained from having a proper respect for the Lord and His Word that will help us grow in wisdom and help us grow in knowledge and help us grow in understanding how to be a better dad. Because if most of you dads are like me, it's kind of like hit and miss from day to day. Some situations, they didn't write a book for dadhood. They didn't, you know, when Rose was born and when Esther was born and when William was born, I didn't get a manual. In fact, they didn't even give me a manual when I got married. Nothing. Just have fun, kids. That was it. But this is the manual. This is the manual. It's just not labeled as such. You want to be a good dad? Apply it. You want to be a good husband? Apply it. Live by it. You'll be able to better love your wives. You'll be able to better train your children and to leave a legacy of wisdom and godliness for generations to come. On this Father's Day, make that commitment to love your wife, train your children, and fear the Lord. Can you do that for me this morning? Can you do that for Him this morning? Wives, help Him. Help Him. Don't fight Him. That word, help meet, means to make complete, not to tear apart. It's a team effort. He's only half of what He ever could possibly be without you. You make it possible. You are only half of what you're intended to be without Him. Love each other. We didn't hit on a lot, but that first passage we read, "Talk to you wives," it said to respect Him. To respect Him. Do you respect your husband? It's only then, if he can't truly love you unless he's getting that respect. And we know from Scripture, as we study it, that the heart of every woman wants to be loved and cherished and valued. You have to show respect to get that. And husbands, stop blaming your wives. Love her. Love her. Adore her. take care of her. I got two more minutes before I absolutely have to quit. Scripture tells us, this is not even in my notes at all, Scripture tells us in the passage that we just read that the wife is the weaker vessel. And in today's age, you know, in the 21st century, a lot of people would just want to rip that page out and, you know, equality of men and equality of women. And men and women are created equal, but we're created to perform different functions and different roles in life. Prime example is childbirth. Men, amen? So thankful. But you know what? It's not saying that women are physically weak or even emotionally weak. It just means by weaker vessel that you're different and you have a different function. I had a pastor explain it to me this way. It's the most beautiful explanation I've ever heard. If you think of men and women as containers, as vessels, men, we're aluminum cans, okay? Not very pretty to look at, but we're very functional. Ladies, you are those million-dollar Chinese vases, Mandarin vases or whatever they're called. Ming Dynasty vases. I couldn't hear what you were saying. All I heard was, Speak up, young man. Those million-dollar vessels. Gorgeous to look at. Painted, smooth, just glorious to behold. You take one of them, or either one of them, you hold them up about this high and you drop them, what happens? The can bounces around, it gets us a few dents. You could even kick it and pick it up, stretch it back out, and fill it with water. You can still use it. And no one really cares. It's just an aluminum can. You drop the vase and it shatters into a million pieces, and you're going to spend a whole lot of time gluing all the pieces back together, and you better hope you find them all if you ever want to use it again. And it's never going to be quite the same. That's what that's talking about. We have different purposes, and we have to be treated differently. Still do the same job in many cases, right? But different purposes. Guys, love and cherish and take care of and guard and put the needs of your spouse first. If you don't hear anything else I say today, do that. Leave a legacy. I'm done. I better quit. I could go on for another 20 minutes. This is passionate. I'm very passionate about this. This is important. There's too many marriages falling apart all around us in our society. It's an epidemic, even in the church. And it's because husbands and wives don't get this, and our society is poisoning how people view the relationship between a man and a woman. It's the Bible that we have to go back to understand. And until we do, this epidemic is just going to continue. So go to the book, all right? Happy Father's Day. Let's pray and let's sing a stanza of Just As I Am, and I'll let you run. Don't forget the open house across the street or across the driveway there if you would like to see our new property. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today and ask you that you would restore our families, that you would raise up godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers, that they would be just determined to leave a legacy with your name stamped all over it. And that your church would grow and that your church would prosper because dads are evangelizing their homes first. Lord, we just pray that this message would be not fall on deaf ears, but that every man in here today would determine today to leave a legacy for you and to be a real man. A godly man, and serve you. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This presentation is brought to you by Whiting Community Church, real people, real faith. We are located in the heart of Whiting, Vermont, on Route 30. Sunday school classes start at 9:30, following a time of coffee and fellowship. Our Sunday morning worship service starts at 10:30. Join us for a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Learn more about our thriving small group ministries gathering throughout the week in Whiting, Orwell, Cornwall, Shoreham, Sudbury, and Brandon. To learn more about Whiting Community Church, please contact Pastor Billy Jones at 802-623-7171. Or you may reach us on the web at wccvt.com and at Facebook/Whiting Church. Thank you, and may God bless you.